and uncensored views. This is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth, a great nation that is still growing in population, but much more slowly than before. 7.4% in population growth. That includes new immigrants, both legal and illegal. Most new immigrants are legal, but it includes newborns. But we still have a stunning number that came out of these census numbers that I don't know if anybody can be particularly pleased or reassured by this. Right now, there are more people living in this country who are 80 and older than people who are 2 or younger. That is not a a wonderful signal for future growth. And not that there's anything wrong. It's wonderful to be 80 and older. Sure, great. It's terrific. We should have a growing, I hope, constantly growing segment who's 80 and older, because it means increasing life expectancy, which is a good thing, and we should get back to. We had decreasing life expectancy for the first time 2 years in a row recently, partially because of the opioid epidemic. And that brings up another thing. When people are looking at this slowed growth, I want to repeat, we've lost some 600,000 people to COVID-19. I mean, we really have. It's these are people who would not normally have died. It's more than 500,000. And it could end up being much more than 500,000. But that does not count in these census numbers, because these census numbers, all of the actually asking of questions was done April 1st. So this is supposed to be at April 1st of last year. So this does not include much of the death and population reduction that we got because of COVID-19. There's something else here, and I've been thinking about this a great deal and writing about it. I'm going to have a piece on this coming up. I read that excerpt from the New York Times that talked about California as a surging, booming, dynamic example of a minority-majority America. And what they mean by that is there have been predictions by the left for years and years and years and years and years. I mean, literally going back to, the 1980s, 1990s, for a very long time. In 2009, James Carville, if you remember him, wrote a book called 40 More Years, Why the Democrats Are Going to Have Permanent Control Over the Next Generation. Now, that hasn't worked out, because the belief in that argument was that demography equals destiny. And they like to play these games, and the game is entirely based upon classifying Hispanics as a different race. And right now, this census, one of the things that it is doing is it is not treating Hispanics as a different race, because Hispanics come in every race. There are Hispanics who are black, who come from the Dominican Republic, or come from Cuba in many cases, or other parts of Latin America. They're definitely Hispanic, but they're also black. There are Hispanics who are, you could say, indigenous peoples, based upon, and there aren't Hispanics who are white. And this is the one thing that they do not tell you, though this census, I believe, is getting ready to tell you, is in filling out the census, and you may have noticed this, you're supposed to check two different things. You're supposed to check what race you are, and then there's a separate question, are you Hispanic or not? Now, first of all, it's kind of ridiculous that there is just one ethnicity that you're being asked about. They don't ask you, are you Polish or not? They don't ask you, are you Italian or not? They don't ask you if you're Filipino or not. They ask you if you're Hispanic or not. And here's the stunner, which is that in the preliminary numbers, the majority, and it's a clear majority of people who say, yeah, I'm Hispanic, that's me, that's me, also say they're white. Now think for a moment of Ted Cruz and Marco Rubio. Think of Cameron Diaz. In other words, is Marco Rubio, who I know and admire, is he a different race from me because his parents immigrated here from Cuba? And this whole idea of trying to divide America into two giant groups, one white, one non-white, and to try to set those two groups against one another is one of the reasons that I'm thinking people who are looking toward the future of the Democratic Party ought to be worried, because, friends, that is not going to work. Non-white people do not have a great deal in common, even people within the so-called non-white groups. You really think a Hispanic from Argentina is indistinguishable from a Hispanic from El Salvador? No, of course, they're completely different experiences, completely different backgrounds and cultures. And the Asian qualification, supposedly by the year 2045, when, at least according to the New York Times, we are going to have an America that is, quote, a majority minority group, that's only by counting all the black people as non-white, counting all the Asian people as non-white, and counting all the Latino people as non-white, despite the fact that half of them say, I'm white, and clearly are of European ancestry. I mean, on what basis do you create? We've had Mike Gonzalez on before, who wrote about this decision, which was a Democratic decision, because, see, what they want to do is they want to accentuate not the differences within groups, but the differences between these two big groups, whites and non-whites. And the only way that you can accentuate those differences is by demonizing the whites, demonizing white supremacy, and the whole claim of white privilege. It's insulting and it's ridiculous. And when you actually begin to read into it, there are a lot of white people who do resent it, and they should. When my grandparents came to this country, they did not benefit from white privilege. And it wasn't just because they were Jewish, and a lot of people in the 1930s and 40s saw Jewish people as non-white. Okay, fine. But the point is, this whole non-white, white distinction, and the idea that if you are non-white, do you know that in terms of attitudes toward issues, in terms of politics, in terms of money earning, in terms of education, Asian people as a group, who are supposed to be 8% of the American population by 2045, Asian people are far more different from black people than they are from white people. Asians earn more. They are more likely to have higher education. They have stronger family structure. Asian people, thank God, despite prejudice, which undoubtedly exists. And that's why this whole emphasis on anti-Asian hate crimes right now, I'm not saying they don't happen. They do. I'm not saying they're not criminal and hateful and pathetic. They are. But the idea is this whole grand dream of creating this phony minority-majority country is based on putting everybody else against people who are white. And the white people are supposed to include all kinds of folks, including Greeks and Italians and Jews, who once upon a time were never considered white. If you disagree with me and you think it's somehow important and it's profound and it's a beautiful thing and it's going to change our national destiny, that by 2045, and that's the earliest it could possibly be, we may have a minority-majority country, you can give us a call, 1-800-955-1776. Conspiracies in the Census, coming up. Michael Medved Show. I was just complaining, and I don't like to complain, but honest to goodness, the idea of slavery reparations, which was passed by the Judiciary Committee in the House of Representatives, and is almost surely going to pass the House of Representatives, the commission to study reparations for slavery. It's an incredibly terrible idea, and it illustrates exactly what I was saying, is the Democrats exist, and their future exists and depends upon trying to clearly classify people as you're either white or you're non-white, and hoping for that magical non-white majority. But the fact is that there are differences. There's just a poll just taken by ABC Washington Post. It's not a Republican poll. ABC Washington Post. And they asked, do you support reparations for descendants of slaves, yes or no? And overall, 65% of Americans say no way. Among black people, 27% say no way. White people, 76%. But here's the kicker. Hispanics are also against it. They don't want reparations for slavery. 54-35, 19-point spread against it. So this desire to try to accentuate differences, to be as divisive as possible on race for political self-interest, I don't think that strategy is going to work. Because when it comes to Asians and Hispanics, and Asians and Hispanics together way outnumber the total of black people in this country, this is not going to be a popular program. Jim in Olympia, Washington. Jim, you're on the Michael Medved Show.
Yeah, I just was thinking in terms of a factor that seems to be not thought about too much is the mixing of races and groups. And I have a relative who's mostly Irish. Two of his great-grandchildren are half Nigerian, a quarter Japanese, and roughly a quarter Irish. And it's just the whether it's white or non-white or however it's divided, I think that's been one of the big stories of America is the mixing of groups.
It is. You are absolutely right. And it's great of you to bring it up, Jim, because this is part of what I'm writing about, too, is that idea of classifying yourself as white or non-white, one or the other. Right now, 15.1% of every marriage in America is a marriage across racial lines. And most of those intermarriages are Asians marrying white people and Latinos marrying non-Hispanic whites. And again, it is a fiction that after three generations... Do you know, is it the grandchildren of your friend who are part Nigerian and part Irish and part Japanese and part everything?
I think they're great-grandchildren, actually. His son married Japanese, and one of the Japanese, half-Japanese granddaughters married a man of Nigerian background.
Do you know how they are going to identify those kids?
I really don't know American? On that point. I don't know the later descendants to honestly say one way or the other, but and I know many years ago Maya Angelou did a report on mixed race, and yeah, okay,
yeah, and what did Maya Angelou say about it? We lost Jim there, but look, mixed race families are a reality, but for people to believe that somebody who may have, I don't know, one Hispanic grandfather or one Asian grandfather, that person is going to say, oh, no, I'm non-white, and then take the Democratic Party's point of view, which is that basically non-whites versus whites, and there the twain shall meet, and there's an implacable, irreducible difference. It's nonsense. It's nonsense. There are more differences in political orientation, in earning, in there are more differences between whites with a college degree and whites without a college degree than there are between whites and Hispanics. And within Hispanics, the differences are huge. And within Asians, the differences are huge. I mean, how nonsensical. Somebody from India who comes over here and he's a computer programmer for Microsoft, and there are a lot of folks like that in the state of Washington, where we have a substantial Indian-American community. Somebody like that is not indistinguishable from someone from Korea who's running a store. There are all kinds of differences. And the desire to make everybody the same, and boys, you saw this at the Oscars, where, oh, they're people of color who are dominating each category. Well, they ended up, they had a Korean who won Best Supporting Actor, and an African who's a child of African Americans to London. He's actually a Brit. Daniel Kaluuya, who won Best Actor for playing Best Supporting Actor for playing Fred Hampton in Judas and the Black Messiah. More on some of the Oscar disaster coming up. I mentioned ABC's Good Morning America. They're blaming Trump for wrong census numbers. Why? Listen.
This was one of the most complicated head counts ever given the pandemic and the Trump administration's push to not have undocumented immigrants counted. The reason these numbers are so important is that they'll end up determining how more than a trillion federal dollars gets allocated and how you saw those congressional maps get drawn. The big impact, red states are basically going to pick up several seats. Democrats, blue states could potentially lose some. And ultimately, this could impact the midterm elections. I want to show you another map. Take a look at it right here. Texas, you'll see it there, is going to pick up two seats in the House, Florida, North Carolina, Colorado, Oregon, Montana, they'll get one more seat. On the flip side there, though, for the first time in history, California loses a seat. New York, Illinois, Pennsylvania, Ohio, Michigan, West Virginia, those important Rust Belt states are all going to drop a seat as well. Now, New York, listen to this. If just 89 more residents had responded to the census, they would not be losing that seat. Robin, there are big questions this morning about whether Latinos accurately participated in this census by the Trump administration. Some concerns they may have been scared off by the political ramifications there.
How would they be scared off? This is ridiculous, and it is not true. It's not up to Trump not to count illegals, because it says in the Constitution where they set up a census, they're supposed to count all residents. It doesn't say legal residents. It says all residents. And the courts were very clear on this. That Trump scared away Hispanic participation. We'll be right back. The Democratic Party, which does appear to be divided on a number of issues, where the radical wing of the Democratic Party, the Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez wing, is not necessarily in agreement with the Chuck Schumer wing, which is why there are people anticipating they may end up running against each other when Schumer seeks re-election in 2 years, in November of next year. There's an actress named Rose McGowan, and you may remember her. She's had an up and down career. She's a bit eccentric. How eccentric? She had a long-term relationship with Marilyn Manson. And for those of you who don't know Marilyn Manson is a guy. And then she had a long-term relationship, actually married Davey Detail, who is another eccentric. In any event, Rose McGowan, who's one of the people who outed Harvey Weinstein in what he did with assaulting women. So she has some standing in the hashtag Me Too movement. She was on Fox News decrying what she considers to be a dangerous, deep cult. Which cult? Clip two. Listen.
And I do believe Democrats most especially are in a deep cult that they really don't and know about and aren't really aware of. And I leave the Republicans alone more because I do respect people more that are like, this is what we are. This is what we're about. This is what we're against. Whereas I find the Democrats are really pretty much almost against all the same things. They're against changing the world for the better. And they're for keeping a system in place that is for so few people and benefits so few, but they masquerade as the helpers. We would do this. The world would be perfect if only those Republicans would get out of the way. Well, okay, you've got control. So now what? What are you going to do to make the world better?
Okay, what they're doing is trying to accentuate racial differences and to focus on racial divisions. And no, I don't think that's a helpful plan. It is a helpful plan, it seems to me, when doctors who also happen to be members of Congress get on board to try to urge their fellow Republicans. We're talking about 10 Republican doctors in the Congress, like Bill Cassidy of Louisiana and John Barrasso of Wyoming, very conservative members who got together for a public service announcement that sounded pretty good to me. This is the Republican doctors in Congress, pretty much everybody, not including Rand Paul, who had this to say. Clip A.
I come to you today not only as a United States Senator, but as a physician concerned for the health and safety of our nation.
And today I want to talk with you about getting your COVID vaccine.
Last year, the entire world was forced to face the COVID-19 pandemic head on.
And now we, the American people, have the opportunity to achieve peace of mind
and live life as free as before by choosing to receive a COVID-19 vaccine.
Look, this vaccine is safe. Operation Warp Speed brought us safe and effective vaccines, and all in record time.
The process was rigorous and transparent, and a process that I personally followed very, very closely,
resulting in a clear path to the eradication of the pandemic. The FDA did not skip any steps.
Instead, they cut bureaucratic red tape, not corners, and they got the job done in record time.
And by now, over 100 million vaccines have been given in our country. And it's obvious to me from a medical standpoint, the only way to protect ourselves and your loved ones
and to end the government's restrictions on our freedoms is to take action and get the vaccine.
Okay, that's a good message. And it's clearly meant to address the fact that these 10 Republican doctors who are also members of the House and the Senate decided to come together to make it clear that the Republican Party is not on the side of conspiracists or fear-mongering. It's on the side of actually getting us moving forward in a more clear and coherent way, which will require people who are not yet vaccinated to go to the trouble and get vaccinated. They added this to the public service announcement, more from the Republican doctors. Listen.
The beauty of living in this great nation is, however, that we have the option to choose whether or not we get vaccinated.
When the time comes for you to make that final decision, talk it over with your doctor or your pharmacist and consider their recommendation.
Doctors, nurses, and pharmacists nationwide recommend the COVID-19 vaccine to their patients. And over 90% of doctors in the United States have already chosen to get vaccinated. I look forward to the freedom that I, along with my loved ones, will regain once the vast majority of Americans are vaccinated.
If everyone does their part, in the coming weeks, we will once again be able to worship together as a congregation,
gather with extended family,
and travel near and far with friends.
I hope you'll join me.
I hope you'll join me.
I hope you'll join me. I hope you'll join me, along with over 100 million Americans,
in choosing to receive the vaccine so we can throw away our mask and live life as free as we did before.
Okay. upbeat, positive, a good look, it seems to me, for Republicans in Congress. Not such a good look for the director of the CDC, Rochelle Walensky, who unveiled their latest rules. There are too many different rules, and it's too confusing, and it's too contradictory, and this is a little bit of a mess. But she said this about vaccinating people unmasking outdoors. Clip one.
There are many situations where fully vaccinated people do not need to wear a mask, particularly if they are outdoors, as shown by the graphic on the right. If you are fully vaccinated and want to attend a small outdoor gathering with people who are vaccinated and unvaccinated, or dine at an outdoor restaurant with friends from multiple households, the science shows if you are vaccinated, you can do so safely unmasked. On the CDC website, we have posted examples of numerous outdoor activities that are safe to do without a mask if you are fully vaccinated. Generally, for vaccinated people, outdoor activities without a mask are safe. However, we continue to recommend masking in crowded outdoor settings and venues, such as packed stadiums and concerts, where there is decreased ability to maintain physical distance and where many unvaccinated people may also be present. We will continue to recommend this until widespread vaccination is achieved.
Okay. Again, it's a difficult situation and question here. By the way, you notice she made a little bit of a mistake. She says if you're dying outdoors with a small group, let's hope nobody is dying with this. And look, I think it's perfectly legitimate for the CDC, for the Centers for Disease Control, to make recommendations. But one of the things that gets people indignant is the idea that there are places where people are going to get arrested, they're going to get cited, they're going to get shamed. I think that one of the things that has happened is with the increasing number of American adults now and soon to be American children who are vaccinated, that there will be much less fear of that. That the CDC, with all of its changing regulations, remember the double masking or the single masking, that basically that information is up there, good for them, if you want it, and you can benefit from it, maybe, if you want it. But it's one of those things where, well, there is a new idea from the same governor who's offering $12,000 for people to move to West Virginia. He's going to give $100 to every single kid that gets vaccinated. How? We'll play it for you. Coming up on the MedVed Show. Earlier on this show that one of those states that lost the most in terms of population numbers was West Virginia, which has that beautiful John Denver song about it, Take Me Home, Mountain Mama. And I've traveled in West Virginia, and there are parts of the state that are lovely. And then there are other parts, too. It's a state, well, I mean, the loss of population in West Virginia is pretty serious. They lost almost 3.5% of their population in the last 10 years. So they're now offering a $12,000 bonus payment for anybody who moves there, relocates there to do remote work. And it's a pretty good offer. The governor of West Virginia, Big Jim Justice, and he is 6'8" tall. He's a very big guy, large guy, too. He announced a vaccine incentive program. In addition to this $12,000 you can get for moving to West Virginia, if you're 16 to 35, in other words, if you're in that younger, I guess that's Generation Z or something, it's younger even than millennials. He's got something to offer you. This is clip 7.
We're going to give every single one of these people, the people that have already stepped up, our young people that have already stepped up and been vaccinated, and every single one of our young people, we're going to give a $100 savings bond to every single one that steps up and takes their vaccines.
Okay, that's pretty cool. A savings bond, it should be good for it. The government always has been. And it also teaches kids something about saving, about how that money grows fairly regularly. I mean, the interest rates are not that high right now, but still. And look, if the state of West Virginia can find the money to do that, it probably will pay off in terms of a response of a bunch of kids who otherwise might not be ready to get vaccinated. Speaking of not ready, there is this from our international bodies. I mean, one of the things, there's a good piece today in the Wall Street Journal by Gerald Seib about how Joe Biden has focused almost entirely on domestic issues, and people are right to be concerned about domestic issues, particularly the COVID-19 and the economy and the racial issues and his American jobs plan and et cetera. But there are all kinds of international issues that are going to come after him, including this withdrawal from Afghanistan that we were talking about earlier today. And the condemnation of the Armenian genocide, which I think was a good thing, which he took care of over the weekend. But there's this, and this is from the Voice of America, which is basically the U.S. government. But they're saying this: Iran's election to the U.N.'s top empowerment body, women's empowerment body, this week, despite having a poor record, has drawn outrage from rights activists who criticized the Islamic Republic's treatment of women. The result of the secret ballot also has been met with silence from the U.S. In Tuesday's vote, this is as of last week, 43 of the 54 nations in the U.N.'s Economic and Social Council elected Iran to the Commission on the Status of Women for a four-year term beginning next year. The commission is the UN's principal intergovernmental body dedicated to the promotion of gender equality and the empowerment of women. Oh, right. Iran's a perfect choice, of course. Iran received the smallest number of votes of the five nations elected to the body. Of the other four elected nations, China and Japan were already commission members, while Lebanon and Pakistan, another enlightened nation, will be new additions. Iran currently is not a member of the commission. In his annual address to the UN Human Rights Council, UN Special Rapporteur on Human Rights in Iran, Javed Rahman, noted some positive steps for Iranian women and girls in education and citizenship rights. But he also said egregious gender-based discrimination persists in law, practice, and societal attitudes, disempowering women and girls from participating and contributing to society. Look, it isn't that long ago, about 10 years, that Iran was still stoning women, literally stoning them, throwing stones at them and killing them for accusations of adultery. Austria-based Iranian rights activist Shola Zamini denounced Iran's election to the commission as shameful. Well, another UN disgrace. In a Voice of America Persian interview Thursday of last week, she said Iran will be the only country in the 45-member commission to have not even ratified the UN Convention on the Elimination of All Forms of Discrimination Against Women. Not only has Iran not done this, but it is acting quite systematically to violate women's rights. What's going to happen to women's rights in Afghanistan? Another disturbing question. And speaking of disturbing questions, the Secretary of Housing and Human Service, Health and Human Services, Javier Becerra, was on CBS This Morning, and he actually got some pretty tough questions from Gail King about confusing guidelines regarding COVID. Listen.
Well, often wondered, I'm outside by myself, nobody's around, why am I wearing a mask? So this would be very helpful to know. If you're vaccinated, do you have to wear a mask outside or you don't have to wear a mask outside?
Well, we weren't born with masks, but we want to be safe and we want to protect our loved ones. And so that's why we wear masks, right? We put on our seatbelt. We don't expect that we're going to crash our car, but we want to be safe. That's what we're just trying to do, is make sure everyone is safe. We want to get back to a normal lifestyle. We want to get our economy going, people back at work, restaurants open. You got to do that the right way. And masks help. Vaccinations, important. Masks help. And so even though I'm vaccinated, I still wear a mask.
Exactly. So why do we have to do that if we're vaccinated? That's why I'm so confused, because I keep hearing you don't have to wear it, but still you could still pass it, or you could still pass it along even though you've been vaccinated. That's why I'm confused.
Yeah, the vaccine's done a really good job of making sure you'll not only be safe and healthy, but that you won't infect others. But still, you never know. And what you're trying to do is encourage others.
Okay, I think she still might be confused. Don't be confused about the big new movie out there that's playing in theaters. It is streaming. It is a movie based on a really lousy video game. But maybe it's a great movie. It's called Mortal Kombat. That's Kombat with a K. Listen.
Now it's time for MedVed's Entertainment Minute.
30 years ago, it was a video game. Then it was two live-action films and two animated films. And now it's back, playing in theaters and screening on HBO Max. Mortal Kombat.
Throughout history, different cultures all over the world reference a great tournament known as Mortal Kombat.
For some reason, that's combat with a K, and with loads of blood and extracted hearts and severed limbs and gushing blood, and, well, you get the idea. This time, the plot centers around a martial arts competitor who's washed up, but his ancient and honorable bloodline leads him to be selected in the tournament that's going to decide the fate of the world. The movie's rated R, of course, for loads of harsh language and slickly rendered violence. But there's no real plot and certainly no characterization. 2 stars for the latest Mortal Kombat. It will probably satisfy diehard fans, but few others. I can't imagine too many others, and then ask people who see it, try to give me a summary of what just happened. Speaking of what just happened, we'd mentioned James Carville earlier in the show. Well, he just made a declaration that he said the Democratic Party is suffering from a deep wokeness problem. Is that true? We'll consider that tomorrow on the MedVed show. And there's a new hairstyle from Justin Bieber that is leading to accusations of cultural appropriation. But that appears to be deliberate because he's committing himself to some cause. We will bring you the latest on that. And after a year of riots almost every night, and it's not just a peaceful demonstration, it's riots. Portland leaders finally say they're ready for a crackdown. Will they take care of business? We will consider that and much more next time, Wednesday, in This Greatest Nation on God's Green Earth.